Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is so faithful, isn't he? Did you notice anything different on the worship team today? Hallelujah. Didn't it sound great? Praise God. I wanted to be in the Mirzwa's home this morning when she left. And Darren was just left with all the kids getting them ready for church. That's what I want to see. That's the miracle right there. Praise God. So, hallelujah. Darren, thank you for loaning us your wife, Dr. Jessica. You sounded wonderful. Praise God. The worship team's growing. Amen. And more to come. Hallelujah. We will have a full worship team when it's all said and done. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Hebrews chapter 6 this morning, and we're going to pray in a second. I'm not going to hardly do any review because we're in the fifth week here, and we could spend all our time just on review, and we need to get going, and that's what live stream's for in the archives. You can go back and hear it as much as you want to. But this series is changing our lives, and people are going to walk out of here from this place and this series, and things are going to be different. Things are going to change for them. We're not here to play church. Amen. We're not here to just go through the motions. You know, when people had an encounter with Jesus, they actually left different. And their lives were never the same. And, you know, we ought not to be a church where we're just going through the motions and just showing up to play our Sunday morning and to check off some consciousness box that we have that we went to church. No, we ought to come with the expectation, I'm going to hear from heaven and I'm going to walk out of here changed. Praise God. There's people here, and I think about, I use this testimony all the time, and, you know, just mentioning John and Julie with their marriage. But when Julie came into the church years ago, she had started a little bit in the storefront, but really got faithful when we moved over to the old sanctuary. She came in with incurable diseases and an incurable respiratory problem. And, you know, she had been to church and faithful church, loved God. I mean, loved God with all her heart. But yet, here she was, a child of God, suffering with an incurable condition. Well, how many of you know, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It just so happened when she came in to the church, I was preaching a healing series on what God has said about healing and how to receive that. And she just took God at his word, that it was from heaven, and she received that, and she was cured of that, all inhalers and breathing treatments and steroids, things that were debilitating to her, where she couldn't even walk, couldn't even get out of bed, couldn't go to work, ambulance called different times, and it was gone, completely healed, and doesn't struggle with that anymore. But my point is, that's somebody that had an encounter with Jesus, and their life changed. Their world changed. Well, we could have testimony after testimony of people that came into this place, and a place that flows with the Holy Spirit, that preaches the Word, actually took this part of the service seriously, that when things come out of my mouth, it's not man's plans and man's ideas. I don't any, many, miny, my, mo my way through the Bible to what sermon's going to sound good today. No, I hear from heaven. What are you saying, God? What do you want the church to hear? We pray for boldness. We pray for utterance. There's things that come out of my mouth at times that have nothing to do with the message, but hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And people will come up and say, Pastor, it was like you were in my house this week. It was like you had a camera in my house. I'm not a peeping Tom, but the Holy Ghost is. And he hears that, knows everything, and knows what you need. And so if you'll show up, you know, people were in the presence of Jesus in Mark chapter 6 and came with a casual, apathetic attitude. And the Bible says he could there do no mighty work, and he marveled at their unbelief. Yet he went other places and their lives were dramatically changed. It wasn't about God or Jesus. God was ready, the minister was ready, but the people weren't. And so if you'll get ready, what's ready look like? I'm hungry. I'm ready to receive. I'm in expectation. God's going to speak through my man of God this morning. And the words that come out and you receive them as the Bible and as the Word of God, they'll change your whole world. Amen. They will. Praise God. And so I'm excited for this series, for people that will actually take this serious and say, wow, look what faith can do in my life. You know, we've been looking at what faith can do, right? And it can do some mighty, mighty things. But it doesn't work for everybody. Yeah. It works for the ones that work it. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's pray and believe God for the right things this morning. Father, help us. Lord, we're here to do your work, Father, not to have what we would consider a good service or what we would think would be right. Father, we need heaven's thoughts this morning. And Father, just like the Apostle Paul prayed, he said, may my speech and my preaching not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but as the oracles of God and a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you're going to fill it with words from heaven. Father, things are going to come out of me, Father, that are going to strike chords in people's hearts, that's going to be so specific and pertinent to their circumstance and their situations and the and where they're at in life right now. Father, it's going to be their help. It's going to be their rescue. It's going to be their life raft, Father. So we thank you for change this morning. Your word can change us. Your utterance from heaven can change us. So we respect that. We honor that. We come with expectation and hunger. For you said, they that hunger and thirst will be filled and satisfied. Not they that show up. Not they that go through the motions. So Father, we say we're hungry for you this morning. So Father, speak to us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and we receive it all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is Faith Part 5, and we've looked at a whole lot of different things and how to work things. But today we're going to just jump right into Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. It says this in Hebrews 6 and verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, notice this, inherit the promises. I love when promise has an S on it because that makes it plural, which means what? There's multiple promises. Well, what are the promises? Well, the things that God has said in His Word that He's made available to you, those are promises from Him. For example, salvation was a promise, but that's the one promise that a lot of churches and people only focus on. But I'm glad He didn't just say promise. He said that there's promises from God for us. And, you know, think about Philippians 4:19. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. That's a promise from your Father on what He wants to do for your finances, for the supply in your life. That's a promise from Him. But we know this, if we look at it just like salvation, there's many people walking the earth right now that are walking around unsaved, that are walking around not born again, that don't know Jesus, that have never received Him as their Lord and Savior, yet the Bible says it's available to them, right? The Bible says they can have it. Well, how did you receive it? You received it by going through the right channels, going through the cooperating with the Word by faith, right? You received that. And of course, we won't receive the fullness of salvation. And in fact, it goes along with what we're talking about today with patience. We won't receive the fullness of that until we go to heaven, but there's things we can receive here. But it took faith. And so Philippians 4:19, yeah, that's a promise from God, but it has to be acquired a certain way. And it tells us here, because the goal is to get to the promises. That's what we want, to walk into the promises. But how do we get there? He says, you get there through faith and patience. Well, the last 4 weeks, we've been talking specifically about faith, what it is, what it looks like, how to get it, and how to use it, right? We talked about what it looked like. We talked about how we receive it by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And then we talked about how do we work our faith. Well, we saw that it's in two places, isn't it? When you believe or hear the Word, the Bible says faith is of the heart. But it's not meant to stay there. It's meant to be released, isn't it? And Jesus told you in Mark 11:22, He says, have faith like God does. Isn't that amazing that He told you, He gave you the permission that you can have the same kind of faith as your Father in heaven does? Well, think about your Father in heaven's faith. I got this revelation as I was preaching last night that Jesus said, I can have God kind of faith. Well, God's faith wasn't a faith of maybe it won't work, or what if it doesn't pan out this time, or I hope it does. No, God's faith has an undefeated track record. It always works. And Jesus told you, a human being, a child of God, an individual, He said in Mark 11:22, have the faith of God. Praise God. He gave us the permission to do so. And then He went on to say that whosoever will say unto the mountain. Well, we saw that faith just isn't of the heart, that we need to start speaking to some things. If you need things changed, Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Well, how did God change the natural? When the darkness was over the face of the earth and it hovered over there and there was a void, what did God do? He opened his mouth and spoke faith words to that and said, let there be light. When he wanted a 100-year-old man to be able to have a baby, what did he do? He spoke words to him and said, your name is no longer Abram. It's now Abraham, meaning you are now father of many nations. What did he do? He spoke it into existence. Yeah. Why? Because Romans 4:17 says, and God who calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's how your father does it. Well, if Jesus told you to have the faith of God, you need to start calling some things. You start calling your finances blessed. You start calling your sick body well. You start calling your wayward child back and in the plan of God. Start speaking some things. Why? That's how faith is released. And we're learning how to cooperate with these things. And so now we're up to the place where we've got it in our heart. We're opening our mouths. Hopefully after last week, you've been just after that thing. Just confess and speak into that mountain. That's how he says it's going to be removed. That's how your mountain's going to be removed, by speaking to it. I mean, that's what Jesus said. I'm just a dummy that believes him. And I've seen it work over and over again. And so now we're at the place where we're releasing our faith. We're speaking. What are we doing? We're expecting change now. We're expecting change. And it brings us to this point, and this is where people trip up, and this is where people lose it, and this is where people miss out. He said to get to the promise, and when he's talking about the promise, he's talking about that manifestation of healing, that manifestation of the financial change, that manifestation of believing for a baby, believing for a spouse, whatever it is. He says it comes through two things, faith, which we've learned up till now, and something else, patience. Do you see that there? And I know. In American culture, 2021, patience is now considered a dirty word. We don't want to have to wait, right? We don't. And you know what the problem with the culture of the world is? It's not the culture of God in the Bible. Because the Bible says, wait on God, to seek God diligently and be rewarded. There's nothing in here that talks about have it your way, right away, right now, drive-through mentality, but that's what the church has, a drive-through mentality. And when it doesn't happen like a drive-through, things go haywire and get off, and we never walk into those promises. But we need to renew our mind to the way God does things, to the way God says it's going to work. And I want to help you with that today because he says... See, because you can get excited when pastor preaches about finances. And then you can get excited to know, okay, I got to get it in my heart. And when I know that I know, I'm going to open my mouth and speak it because then the mountain's going to move. And you can be so excited about that and walk out. And from last week's service, it could be like a light bulb to you. I had a gentleman come up to me last night. I preached last week's service last night in Allegheny because they're a week behind there. And he came up to me and said, Pastor, I have heard you preach this sermon and something along these lines so many times. He said, it clicked for me tonight. So what's he doing now? He realizes and recognizes, I need to open my mouth. I need to get it in my heart and open my mouth. And so now what? He walks out of there excited, expecting change. And hopefully from last week, things clicked with you. And all week long, you've been speaking to your mountain, telling that thing to go, calling that money in, calling that healing in, calling that change in that you need. And then here we are Sunday morning, and I'm guessing there's a lot of us haven't seen a lick of change in the natural. The symptoms are still here. The checkbook's still the same. The outward circumstance, nothing has been different. And the thought will be from the enemy, because the enemy plays on thoughts, it's not working for you. What are you doing wrong? This must not be how it works. And if we don't have our minds renewed, that patience is a part of it, oh, it's going to mess us up. Many people trip up with this patience part, but he said you receive it through faith and patience. So I'm going to help you here with a few things. And number one, piggybacking off what I'm saying here, is number one, you have to have your mind renewed and know that patience is part of the process. That waiting part is not foreign. It's not wrong. You're not doing anything wrong. Things haven't gone south. Things haven't all of a sudden started not working for you. You're not, and now the danger zone. My goodness, I've been speaking all week. I've been confessing all week, and here it is Sunday morning. Nothing's changed. What's wrong with me? Nothing is wrong with you. You are now in what they call the patience part of faith. Amen. And this is where you'll either carry that ball across the goal line into the touchdown of the promises of God, or where you will fumble it and you will lose it and you will never walk into your manifestation. It's in this part right now. And so we need to get our minds renewed to it, that it is part of the process. Amen? Amen. Many people have been soured with the topic of faith because they don't have their minds renewed to this. I'll give you an example. Healing lines are an example of this. Minister calls forth for people to come up, be healed. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Notice that word recover. Recovery at times can what? Take some time. Do you know that the second miracle that Jesus ever did, the second miracle after the miracle at the wedding feast, the second miracle Jesus ever did wasn't an instantaneous miracle? No, this will help your faith. When Jesus healed that man, remember, and the Bible said, From that time, they began to make a recovery. From that time, it said. It didn't say from that moment it was instantly healed. From that time, it began to mend, is the word. It began to mend. What was he saying? It wasn't instantaneous. It didn't happen instantly, but yet the Bible still called it a miracle. Hallelujah. The Bible still called it a miracle. And many people come up in a healing line, and hands are laid on them, and they walk back to their seat with the same symptoms. And they wake up in the morning with the same symptoms. And they wake up a week later with the same symptoms. And what do? They say, well, that didn't work. Well, go with me real quick to Mark 11 and verse 24. Mark 11 and verse 24. You got to understand this patience thing, it's real. And it's biblical. Mark 11, 24, look what he says to you. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. Well, if you're in a church service and you're sitting in the seat sick and a minister calls for a healing line or calls out your condition, my gosh, you're probably desiring to be well. I know when I'm sick, I desire to be well. Well, he said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So they come up and then the minister prays. When the minister lays hands, releases faith, that's a form of prayer. So the Bible says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, in that moment, your job is to what? Believe you received your healing. It doesn't say it's based on any symptoms. Say, that's backwards. No, you have to understand how God does things. God called Abraham a daddy before there was a son. Before he was naturally a daddy, God said, you're a dad. Already, hallelujah. So when you pray for healing, and this would be any kind of prayer that you're releasing your faith for or confessing for, you are in that moment to believe you receive it. Well, it's in that moment that the symptoms are there. But he said, believe you receive it. And then notice this. It says, and you shall have them. But notice it gives us no timeline. It doesn't tell you that you'll have it the moment you're prayed for. You're to believe it the moment you're prayed for, but it doesn't say you'll have it. It doesn't say by the time you get back to your seat, you'll have it. It doesn't say by the time you lay your head down your pillow at night or before you wake up in the morning or before you come back to church. No, it doesn't say that. And see, people have been soured because their faith all of a sudden, because you need your faith to get to the finish line. He said, faith and patience get to the promises. You can't waver, is what he's saying. Remember in James chapter 1, he says you can't be double-minded. You're like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. What? Doubting once, believing another time. Doubting and believing. He said, let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Let him ask in faith. That's what he said. Let him ask in faith. And so there's no promise on a timeline. And so people wake up a week later, and at that moment, man, they were full of faith. Or at that time you confessed it. Or at that time you got the faith in your heart. Money's coming to me. Change is coming to me. You are full of faith. You're excited. The word's in you. You're believing for change. And time goes by. You walk back to your seat. You wake up in the morning. The next day goes by. A week goes by. A month goes by. And nothing's changed. And if your mind's not renewed, you think, uh-oh, this didn't work for me. No, no. This is what you have to understand for once and for all. He didn't say there would be a timeline on it. But you know what he did say? If you'll be in faith, you shall have them. He didn't say it might not happen. He said, if you'll be in faith, even though there's no time, he said, it will manifest. Thank you, Jesus, for that assurance. So when I know after I wake up after months, after I wake up after time goes by and nothing's changed, I don't have to be bombarded and take the thoughts that it's not going to happen, because the Savior who cannot lie already told me I will have it if I keep the switch of faith turned on. Hallelujah. But if I all of a sudden say, this isn't working, and oh, it doesn't work for me, faith's out the window then. That's double-minded. And the Bible told you in James chapter 1, don't think you'll receive anything from God. See, this isn't optional. This faith business isn't optional. This is why you need to learn this. Are you with me this morning? This is why it's not optional. Well, it's optional if you want to live a ho-hum life. If you want to live below what God has for you. If you don't want to walk into the promises of God. Now see, the problem is, a lot of people aren't facing hell on earth right now. But just hold on. Storms arise out of nowhere. And guess what's going to get you out of that? Faith. And that's it. And the problem is, people don't take this stuff serious. They don't get it in them. And tests and trials come. People have no idea what they're doing. It's like the family years ago, they're not with me anymore, years ago, And I'll just say this, it's unfortunate. Actually, the dad, the father of that family, died young. Wouldn't listen to me. They had gone through some things, and I told him, I said, well, here's what happened is, they took summer off. You know, summer came and God became optional. Well, I'm just telling you, I'm up here every Sunday morning delivering people's help. I'm delivering the things that will get you through to victory in life every stinking Sunday morning. Every time I open my mouth, it's help for you, for change in your life. And they took summers off, and sickness attacked the body of this gentleman. And weren't there. I don't know how many weeks went by. And the wife, finally they came back to church, pulled me aside and told me what happened. She said, Pastor Mike, what do we do? The doctors are saying this. I said, do you want to know what you need to do? I had a righteous anger in me. I said, you need to find yourself a time machine. You need to hop in that time machine and go back 6-7 weeks to where I started a series on healing. It'll tell you everything you need to do. Yeah. That's your answer. Well, what's the point? People are going through things, and God is giving people their answers. This series is an answer for your life. Not just for right now, but for when the storms show up. Not if the storms show up, when the storms show up. We don't train soldiers to put them in the field when the bullets start flying to have them all say, I don't know what I'm doing. What do I do? How do I fire this weapon? How do I use this gear? No, that's what the training was for. What is this? This is a boot camp every Sunday, giving you life help. Why? So when the storms come and the bullets start flying, you go into action. Oh, I know what to do with this. Oh, I know how to respond with this. And so many people are so ignorant, have no idea why. Here's the help. Here's the help. And people don't have to understand that patience is a part of it. And then they start to doubt and unbelief. And doubt and belief, it's not optional. That's why this series isn't optional. You need to understand this, praise God. When you understand this, it will help you from freaking out when the time goes on. See, when you're ignorant, there's destruction. Don't believe ignorance is bliss. Don't believe what you don't know can't hurt you. Ignorance is not bliss, it's destruction. What you don't know absolutely can hurt you. You know, when I went through my 2 years incurable chronic pain sickness that I went through there, I had all sorts of tests done to me. And one of them, I went to the hospital where they give you that dye and they put you through a machine. And the guy told me before, he said, now, Mike, when you go in there, it's going to feel warm and you're going to be convinced you just peed your pants. So he said to me, you're going to think you peed your pants. Well, I'm sure glad he told me that. Because had he not told me that, because that's exactly what I felt like. I was like, I think I'm peeing my pants. Oh, wait, no, he told me that's how it's going to feel. And if he would have told me that, I would have freaked out. I would have got embarrassed. I would have been like, you know, getting out of there like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. You're going to need to change things here. I did this. But he told me that's the way it was, and that was normal. And so then I didn't freak out. Well, when you know that waking up week after week, month after month, if it hasn't changed, that's normal, it causes you from getting into a doubt and unbelief freak out. And voiding all the faith checks you've wrote. That's what doubt and unbelief does. Praise God. You know, I think about a subject like speaking in tongues. And if you're ignorant to speaking in tongues, you won't even receive speaking in tongues. And here's what I mean. I tell people what the word says, that the Bible says when a man speaks an unknown tongue, his understanding is unfruitful. What does that mean? When you hear tongues, your mind and understanding will not have a clue what you're saying. You'll have no idea. But see, if you don't know that when you're filled and you start speaking in tongues and your ears hear it and your mind hears it, oh my gosh, what am I saying? That's a bunch of gibberish and I'm making these words up and I don't understand. That's not English. What do? You reject and kick against that. But when you know that you're not supposed to understand it, that it's part of the process, there's a calming there. Amen. It's the same with this patience part of faith. Well, it didn't come to pass for me. Well, stay in faith. Jesus said it would. Jesus said it would. See, we don't take his word serious enough. Why are you even thinking that it won't? Jesus said it would. What, you're going to let the calendar? You're going to let the calendar be more of an authority in your life than Jesus' words? He said, if you believe you receive, you shall have them. Not maybe, not something might change. No, it is guaranteed it's yours. Don't let the calendar talk you out of that. Don't let people, don't let feelings and symptoms and numbers on paper talk you out of that. The Savior said it would happen. Praise God. So number one, it's a part of the process. You know, think about, remember we looked at last week, Jesus cursed the fig tree. You know what I love about Jesus? Jesus was aware how things work. Here he is, the Savior of the world. He what? Spoke to the fig tree, and it didn't dry up until the next day. It didn't change till the next day, right? But notice when Jesus spoke to that fig tree, he said, no man eat fruit from you here ever again. He cursed that thing. He didn't stand there and say, it's not changing. I spoke to that. I cursed that. It's the equivalent of walking away from a healing line. I still have the symptoms here. Or praying for finances, and a week later you're, where's the money? Jesus, why isn't this working? No, you know what he did? He spoke it, and he walked away. Why? He knew patience is part of the deal. And it didn't change till the next day, and it troubled him not a bit. Because he knew that's how it works. Number two, are you ready? Amen. Go to Galatians 6 and verse 9. If you don't faint, you will win. What's winning? Receiving the promises, walking into the manifestation. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. But notice I said if. You know what was amazing when you get out of religion, you start seeing things the way God sees things, which is through the Word, is God will allow you to live sick your whole life. As his child, he will allow you to stay in a place of sickness your whole life. He will let you struggle financially all the days of your life, even though he loved you so much he gave you Jesus. He'll let you live in depression and fear and stress and worry all the days. He'll let you do it. Say, Pastor Mike, can you give me some scripture on that? Well, remember he had the promised land for the children of Israel? He said, I give you this land. And why didn't they walk into that promised land? One reason and one reason only. Doubt and unbelief. They believed the circumstances of the natural, and God said what? 40 years you're going to wander in the wilderness. I'm going to do what you said and spoke into my ears. I'm going to do to you. Well, what happened in 40 years? They struggled. They suffered. They went without. They lived far beneath. And you know what? God was okay watching them do it. Did he like it? No. Was that his will? No. But he let them. What's he saying? Up to you, child of God. This is an if thing. If you'll cooperate and do the right thing, you'll walk into it. But if you don't, nothing I can do about it. Notice God didn't trump his word to come rescue them 40 years out of the wilderness. No. It took them what? After 40 years, working up the faith. Isn't it amazing that after the 40 years, when Moses died and Joshua took over, if you look at Joshua chapter 1, how many times God was encouraging Joshua, he kept saying over, be strong and have courage. What's he saying? Joshua, 40 years you guys struggled out here in the wilderness because there was doubt and unbelief. And the only thing that's going to get you in, listen, Joshua, you don't get to walk in because you paid your penance for 40 years. You don't get to walk in because you struggled for 40 years. See, we think, well, I suffered long enough, it should change. No, it only changes when you get in faith. Amen. And don't quit. And he didn't say, Joshua, now you're just going to stroll in. No, he said, if you want to get in there, Joshua, the same walls are there. The same cities are there. The same fortresses are there. You're going to have be strong and you're going to have courage. Why? It's going to take the same faith to get you in that it would have took 40 years ago. Yeah. And if you don't faint, you'll win. And Galatians 6:9 says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Well, do you think that living a life of faith is well-doing? It sure is. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. The lifestyle of faith pleases him. Yes. What's more well-doing than pleasing God? He says, in that faith lifestyle, when you're believing him, when you're actively believing him for change, when the circumstances and the situation are contrary to what you're believing, he says, don't grow weary during that time. Why? He says, for in due season, what's he saying? There's a time. And maybe we'll touch on some of this stuff at the end, but in due season, he said, we shall reap. There it is again from God saying to you an absolute definitive answer. You will receive your promise. Amen. If we faint not. Well, what is that fainting? That's when people get excited, start confessing. The week goes by, the 2 weeks go by, the month goes by, and we start to get discouraged. We start to change our confession. We start to change our attitude, right? That's called fainting. And the Bible says there's no reaping for the fainters. We can't afford to faint. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24? He said, they that endure to the end will be saved. There's an endurance there. And it's in that endurance where there's the opportunity to faint, to drop that ball of faith, to then not walk into the promises. Go to Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10:23. You getting anything? I'm passionate about this stuff because I love people and I want to see people blessed. That's just all there is to it. Pastor Mike, what's your motivation for ministry? People. That is it. People. God saved me, rescued me, healed me, delivered me, set me free in so many things. It's like, I want this for everybody. Amen. I want this for everybody. Hebrews 10:23. Look what it says here. Now, we learned last week. What do? The last step that we have to do is what? The confession. The releasing out of our mouth. Well, look what he says to do with that confession. He says, let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith. He's saying what? Don't let that confession go. What are you supposed to do? Carry that confession all the way to the finish line. What are you supposed to do with the football? Carry it all the way to the goal line. You don't let down that football till you get in the end zone, right? He's saying, let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering. Well, that's that endurance. And that patience part is where the wavering is going to come. Why? What's the wavering? The storm of the calendar, the storm of thoughts, the storm of symptoms, the storm of numbers looking bad, the storm of oppression, the storm of opposition, right? The storm of time passing start beating on you. To get you to what? Lay down that confession, pick up a different confession of what? It's not working for me. It's not gonna happen for me. I'm not gonna make it. And then you fainted, and then you don't reap. But he said, hold on to it until you get there without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. What's he saying? Don't worry about it not coming to pass. Just hold on to that confession until it does come to pass. Not that it might come to pass, because remember, Jesus already told you. It will come to pass. Praise God. How about we talk about the emperor penguin this morning? Okay, let's talk about the emperor penguin. The male emperor penguin goes 110 days, about that, give or take, with no food. In negative 55 degree temperatures, with 120 mile per hour gusting winds, and they sleep standing up. And there's a purpose for this, if you know anything about the emperor penguin. they do all this and endure all that to get to the end of something. When the female emperor penguin lays an egg, she transfers it to the male. She then goes off to get to be fed, to get nutrition, to get back up, and he stays with that egg. She puts it right on his little feet, and he covers it with that pouch, and he has to balance that thing in 120 mile an hour winds. If it hits the ice, it's going to crack. It can't fall off his feet, that little future baby, that promise. And so that emperor penguin will stand there 110 days with no food. Now, it doesn't take that long for the baby to hatch, but even after it hatches, it doesn't eat until the mom comes back and things can start to change. It takes about 60 to 65 days that penguin stands there with the egg on its feet. In the winds, in the cold, sleep standing up, no food. What's it talk about? The storm. The storm. There's an excitement when the egg is birthed. When the egg is laid, there's an excitement of what's there. When faith is birthed in you, there's an excitement. We're all excited. Yes, I can be healed. Pastor told me. I can be blessed. There's an excitement. And we get ready to walk out, but no. Now comes the time where the winds are going to start howling. We're glad and thankful for the instantaneous manifestations, but I don't know about you, but they do not happen very often. They don't happen very often. We're glad for when they do, but they don't happen very often. Sometimes there's an endurance. Why? Because there's a devil. There's someone opposing us. There's an enemy against us. And so there's an excitement about that egg, but oh, now the work begins. Mom says, peace out, I'm out of here. Kind of like Dr. Jessica today to Darren. Peace out, I'm out of here. And she uses me, you know, Pastor Mike said I have to be there by 9. Sorry, I got to go. And the mom says, peace out, I'm out of here. Here's the egg. And he stands there 60, 65 days. 55 degrees, 120 mile an hour wind, sleep standing up, no food. Why does he endure that patiently? To get to the promise of what? The baby. It's a picture of us. Why do we sit here and hold fast to that confession and sit there? Because the promise is worth it. And yes, I know the winds howl. And yes, I know the pressure comes and the symptoms get worse and the natural and the calendar talks to you. But if you won't faint, you will reap. Praise God. And knowing that patience is a part of it will help you to not faint. Okay, I'm not messing up. This is how this goes. Remember Jesus in the wilderness, that test? 40 days. It took your Savior to come out victorious in that test. 40 days. He didn't sit there after the first day. What's going on? Why am I still in this? If things didn't happen instantaneously for your Savior, and it took over a month for him in a test, why do we get concerned when we walk away from a healing line and our symptoms are still there? Or pastor prays for you financially, and a week goes by and nothing's changed. No, we got to get this revelation that patience is a part. It took Jesus 40 days to come out of that. 40 days. Glory to God. So, number one, patience is a part. Number two, if you don't faint, you win. Number three, are you ready? Amen. Back to Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, just so you know, the air conditioning set at like 68 or 69, but it's 71 here, so it's having trouble to keep up. That's what's going on. If you're a little bit warm, we're trying. We're trying to keep it up here. I'm just going to start leaving the sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 60 degrees. So then when the people start coming in and start rising, at least we have a head start. So get ready to be cold when you first walk in here, okay? Hallelujah. I am kind of exaggerating. I might drop it a little bit to start. But Hebrews 6:12, look at this. That you be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promise. And then he goes on to tell you about one. For when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. And look at 15. And after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. The promise is always there if you can patiently endure. Verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, for an oath for confirmation to them is the end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs the promise of his immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Here we go, verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope before us. What got Abraham to the end of that promise? In Romans 4, it says that Abraham believed that God was able to do what he said. Abraham was convinced that it was impossible for God to tell a lie. And God told me, I'm having a baby. And the storms of wrinkles and the storms of aches in my body and the storms of years and candles on the birthday cake and the storms of people telling me I'm crazy and the storms of science saying it's impossible and the storms of the medical community back then saying it can't happen, they're all beating on him. But what was Abraham's anchor? You need an anchor in the storm. What does an anchor do? Keeps you from being blown around. Keeps you from wavering. What was Abraham's anchor? God can't lie. God can't lie. You know what your anchor is in the times of sickness and disease and the symptoms are getting worse? God can't lie. You know what it is when your finances are haywire and your kids are haywire and all this is going haywire in life? God can't lie. It is your anchor. You find out what he has said and you hold on dear to that thing. Praise God. Go with me to 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18. I want to show you something here. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18. God can't lie. I've been standing on some things lately, and I just keep telling them. The thoughts come, the accusations come, the situation comes, and I just keep telling them, God, you said this. You said this. I didn't say this. You said this. You said this. You can't lie. I just keep bringing it right back to them. Didn't he say in Isaiah 43, put me in remembrance? Put me in remembrance. So I keep telling them, you said this. I didn't say this. You told me these things. Praise God. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18, look what Paul told Timothy. He said, this charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that by them you might wage a good warfare. Listen to what he's telling him. He's saying the prophecies that were spoken. Now, true prophecies are what? Something spoken that just line up with the word of God. So apparently things were spoken over Timothy concerning the word of God, his future and things that lined up with the word of God that were right on, that hadn't come to pass yet. And look what Paul said. He said, the way you're going to wage that warfare and get through this battle is you are going to hold fast to these things, these prophecies went before you. You're going to take those words, and in the battle, that's how you're going to get through that battle. You're going to hold on. What's he saying? The way you're going to get through is simply one thing and one thing only, the word as your anchor. Yeah. Go real quick to 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20. Praise God. Now, how many of you know a true prophet will only speak that which bears witness with your heart, but also lines up with the word of God? Amen? Any prophet that speaks that doesn't line up with the Bible, that's not from God. Why? God never violates his word, ever violates his word. Well, I heard something from the Holy Ghost. I had a gentleman once, his family was struggling years and years and years ago. So, I mean, struggling, wife and children. And he said, God told me not to work. He said, oh, that's funny that God would violate his own word when he told people, you work, and if you don't work, you're worse than an unbeliever. And that your job is to provide for your family. I said, God's not violating his word for your laziness. And people get prophecies that don't even line up with the Bible. Like prophecies like, you don't need a pastor, you can stay home. Oh, I can just stay home with my Bible. So God's violating his word for you. Oh, I like when people say, I'm praying on whether or not I should tithe. What are you praying about? He already told you. Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's so true. Some of the stupid things that are just corrected by the word. But look what 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20 says. We'll just go to the end of the verse where it says believe. It said believe in the Lord your God. What's that mean? Believe in your Lord your God. Have faith in him. Have faith in what he says. And it says, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets and you'll prosper. Well, what are prophets truly doing? They're only speaking that which lines up with the Bible. So he's saying a person that will take the word, whether it's through the written word or a prophecy, if they'll hold on to that anchor and that be their promise, they'll make it to the end of that prospering. That's what he's saying. The anchor for you is God's word. God can't lie. And if God spoke it in the written word, or God spoke it through a minister, and it bears witness with your heart and lines up with the word, it's the same as if the Bible. That's what he's telling you in 1 Timothy and those things, that those words that you get, you can hold on to them as if they're the written word of God. Amen. But what am I trying to point out to you? It's all centered around the word. Amen. Last but not least, we got to close here. So number three, the anchor of patience is the word of God. You need an anchor of patience? It's the word of God, that he can't lie. Knowing that he can't lie is an anchor for you. Number four, are you ready? You need to turn the tables on this patience thing. What do I mean by that? We are inundated in our culture, in our society, in our own thoughts, and the devil will tell you that patience is a bad thing. But the Bible says that patience is a good thing. And that in that patience thing, things are being put in you and developed in you that will lead to such great things. And if you turn the tables on patience in that part that you're in with patience, instead of dreading it and wondering, no, this is a good thing. But you got to renew your mind to it. Go to James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2. You got to start seeing things from God's perspective. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That means diverse tests or various tests and trials. He says, count it joy. Well, we know this, that when you get into a test, the way out's faith, but faith also is accompanied with patience, so it doesn't just happen automatically. And he says this, because he says, when you fall into a test, if you want to get out of it, it's going to be faith, but it's going to take some time. Verse 3, knowing this, he says, you can count it joy if you know this. If you don't know this, you won't count this part joy. Knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh or produces patience. Well, I don't want patience. I hate patience. I'm not patient. I don't like patience. But the Bible says, verse 4, let patience have her perfect work. That patience time that's working in you, God Almighty in his counsel and wisdom says it's a perfect time. Why? That you may be perfect or complete, entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Let me give you an example. My flesh and mind hated being $2,000 short every single month from paying my bills. That is a daunting thing when you have a new baby and you're just starting a church and a calendar flips over and now there's bills and things coming in that you need $2,000 for that you don't have. I went through that for 2 years, 24 months. Every single month being $2,000 short. 2 years I went through that. Now you know the testimony, I never lacked, paid off debt and things. But that test and trial from a prosperity preacher. I'm a prosperity preacher, I believe in it. My God's a prosperity God. From someone who preaches faith, for 24 months I would wake up and be $2,000 short every single month. Think about that. In the midst of the fire. And my flesh and mind hated it. And my flesh and mind wanted to kick. My flesh and mind, why me? Wanted to get out of it. I had to live out of my heart, but that's what my mind and flesh wanted. But you know where Pastor Mike is now? I have acquired things and walked into things that took a level of faith on the front end, knowing that God was going to come through on the back end. You know where I got it from? 2 years. 2 years of watching every single month, waking up and struggling naturally and not having enough, and watching in the beginning of the month, having nothing, and by the end of the month, God came through. You know what that put in me? That's why Pastor Michael wouldn't give me a salary, because he said, what's going to be put in you is precious. If you'll do the right thing, you won't fail. Yeah. I look back on that time frame, and I look at it, and I love it. I'm so thankful. Even though in it you wanted out of it, but what was being put in me? Things to perfect me. There's been things with the building and believing God for money that seems like such small potatoes to me. Other people have said, but this, I say, big deal. 2 years. 2 years, I went through what was happening. God was prepping me for the next thing. Because we always go from glory to glory. And to get into greater glory, you're going to have to go through greater tests. And we kick and scream to get out of it. Praise God. Let me take it from a different angle and help you with the patient side. The blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22 says, makes you rich and adds no sorrow. But how many of you know people, you know what they do? They pull an Abraham and a Sarah. God said they could have a baby, but it just overwhelmed them, didn't they? So what did they do? They grabbed another lady who was younger, whose womb wasn't dead, named Hagar, and they had a baby named Ishmael, didn't they? And God wasn't happy with Ishmael, and there was fallout from Ishmael, and it wasn't the promise of God, and it didn't work out the way that it should have. Well, what happened? They had the blessing of a child, but sorrow was attached to it. That's what Proverbs 10:22 says. You do the blessing of the Lord, maketh rich and add no sorrow. And because people won't have patience and do things God's way, they'll go out and get the blessing of something. Let me use a great example. Relationships. Ooh! This might get a little touchy. Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Do you think that could mean a spouse too? Do you think the Holy Ghost wants you to marry wrong? Do you think the Holy Ghost would lead you into the wrong relationship? Nope. God will let you pick whoever you want to marry. He'll let you do whatever you want. But don't you think if the Holy Ghost said, acknowledge me in all your ways, I'll direct your paths, that you could maybe start going down the road and the Holy Ghost said, no, that's not the right one. No, you better watch out for this person. But what happens? Desperation and loneliness and sadness. I'm not downplaying all these things. And people don't want to do it God's way. And I want it now. I want it my way. I want it now. Do you know how many messes I've had to clean up? I'll tell you a story. I will never tell somebody, except for one time, I told a woman, do not marry that man. She did anyways. And I did the wedding. But I sat her down before. I said, I have never had this strong in my heart. I am telling you, you should not marry him. Oh, but Pastor Mike, I love him so much. I said, I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit's saying. You do what you want. Normally with people, I just keep my mouth shut and marry him because they're going to need me to help them later on. It's the truth. I don't want to steer them off. And like, they're going to get married. If they haven't met their mind, they're going to get married. So I want to be a part of it and love on them. But this person, I sat her down. I said, do not marry this man. Why? It's so strong. Well, she did. And it was years later, I was at Tops in the checkout line, and this woman said, Pastor Mike? I said, oh my gosh, and I said her name, which I won't say her name, she hasn't been with me for years, but she had gotten a new haircut, and I hadn't recognized her. I said, oh my gosh, gave her a big hug, and began to weep immediately. She said, well, I didn't listen to you. You did the wedding, we got married, and everything that you told me would happen came to pass. Well, it was just God. But what were we dealing with? A girl that was lonely? That had her hopes and faith in a man and not in God. He's got money, he's got security, he's got... You can have the blessing of that kind of stuff. But if it's not God's way, there will always be sorrow attached to it. Amen. That's why I love John and Julie, you know, get married and they waited and they were patient for years and years and years and years. You know, being Julie's pastor... I got to watch many a guys try to take her out. We'd talk about it. Oh, that's not for me. In fact, one long before John came on the scene, that there was someone. That's not my heart. Single woman. How many years? After 5 years, single, doing things on her own, 2 kids, making it happen, not giving in to the pressures of loneliness. The pressures of the fear and the security of a man. Listen, ladies, God is bigger than any man. It's the truth. Same goes for men. Like we get God's person for you is where the blessing will be. I just waited patiently and patiently until the blessing came on the scene. Now see, here's the thing with patience that you don't recognize. God sees things that you don't see. What do I mean? Your person... or whatever situation or blessing, it might be, she might be off in California now, and God's got to move some pieces and arrange some things and influence some things to get that person to come here. And that might take some time, but oh, you'll be glad you waited. I bet John Gray's glad he waited. He's really happy he married her. You should talk to him how happy he is. He really likes her. Praise God. Yeah, and you know what? People got down on it. People gave him a hard time. Shame on you. Shame on you. They waited and sowed and did things God's way. Tried to get in the way of their happiness. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, anybody that was like that. And I'm speaking to people on live stream. Jealousy. Woo! Nastiness. People getting selfishness. How can they do that? It ain't about you. You need to learn, wake up and realize life's not all about you, selfish one. Well, how does this affect my life? Who gives a rip how it affects your life? You're an adult. Figure it out. Okay, I got that off my chest. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's true. It's true. The amazing things, the influence. People are so influenced by the devil and the things they say. They don't even realize you're being influenced by the wrong spirit. It ain't God. Christians walk around saying and doing things they don't realize. Oh, you're giving into the spirit of the devil. When you're offended, you're listening to the devil. When you're holding grudges, you're listening to the devil. When you're getting selfish, you're listening to the devil. Wham, wham, wham. Go suck on a pacifier. That's what you need to do. Hallelujah. It's truth. It's the truth. And you don't see things. Yesterday I was driving. I was coming up over a hill. And I didn't know because all of a sudden I seen a car in my lane. And I'm going just, I had my cruise set 35 miles an hour in a 30 zone that was going for a long way. So I just set my cruise. And I came over a hill, and there's a car there, and I didn't slow down because I didn't know. And then I moved off to the side. Well, they had gone. I don't know why. They didn't wait, but there was an Amish buggy, and they went around that Amish buggy before they went up over the hill. They didn't even know who was coming on the other side, and so I didn't slow down. And the truck behind them, he's cussing me out and raising his hands at me like, slow down. I'm like, I didn't see him. But why was he freaking out? Because he couldn't see what I could see. Why do we freak out on the patient side and God's up there as calm as a cucumber? Why? Because he can see things. See, you think that because you waited a year it was bad or that you're in the waiting process and God says, no, no, no. The waiting is going to be the best thing and the reward that ever happened to you. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the truth. We don't see it like God sees things. We don't understand what's being put in us. But if we just renew our mind to a couple things, it's part of the process and it's a good thing. Okay, let's do this thing. Yeah. Let's do this thing. God's timing is perfect anyways. And remember, he's not dangling the carrot. Yeah. No, there's things that need to happen in the natural at times. There's a devil that opposes, but it will come to pass. And until it does, things are being put in you that are precious and priceless that you are going to be so thankful for. Amen. And I know when you're going through it, you think, oh, yeah, right, Pastor Mike, in one ear, out the other. When my pastor told me, oh, Pastor Mike, the faith that's going to be put in you. It was like hearing, la, 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 where's my money? I want my money, Pastor Michael. But he was right. Yeah. There's things now I've acquired and walked into and believed for and stepped out on only because of 2 years in that test. And I am so thankful for it. And now there's things concerning healing. And going forth into what God has for me in the healing and the miracle ministry that I went through for 2 years in sickness, a hatred for sickness, a revelation of God's power greater than anything the doctors can't figure out, put in me that I would have never got if I didn't go through that 2 years. I'm telling you, praise God. So thank God for patience. Hallelujah. I know I went way long. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, if you thought you were going to leave my church before then, you might really be thinking you're going to leave it now. After correction, hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to say this by the Holy Ghost. Because I know the thoughts. Yep, 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 yep. Yep. I'm just telling you, danger awaits you. I'm not playing around here. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Those thoughts to take yourself out of where you've been planted for years and years and the word sown to you. And your flesh and your pride is not liking hearing this. But I am telling you, danger awaits you. Because you're not making decisions based on the Spirit. You're not making decisions based on the word. You're making decisions based on feelings and comfort and convenience and what you want. And that will only lead. That will only lead to a fallout that you don't want and you cannot afford. I am telling you right now by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and I have never lied to you, and things have come to pass that you have seen, I am telling you, you will not be able to afford the fallout that awaits you. So that is your warning from the Holy Spirit. And you know who you are. And you're either going to receive it and heed it, or you're going to walk right through those stop signs like so many people do, and it's just like that woman, and there's going to be pieces and a mess and a shipwreck to pick up that was not intended for you. And it doesn't have to be that way. Start making decisions based out of the Spirit, not your brain. Start making decisions based out of the Spirit, not your flesh, out of family members and opinions and what other people think and what's good for your life and what you feel good. No, make decisions based out of the Spirit realm, out of the Word of God. That's where the safety lies. That's where the safety lies. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is testifying, danger, 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 danger. Hallelujah. Say, who the heck was that for? Well, if it wasn't for you, it's none of our business. Praise God. We thank you, Lord. Let's just worship Him. Worship. Say, Pastor, you're just trying to scare people to stay at your church. So I don't give a rip who stays, who goes. My job is a bus driver. I drive the bus. Some get on, some get off. I keep driving the bus. My job is to speak what the Word is. When people's actions and words and things are not based on the Word, that is my job to tell them that. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for help. For help, for help. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. This is why we pray for boldness. We pray for utterance, because I'll tell you, it's not fun to preach and say these things. It's not fun to do this. Say, you look like you're having fun. No, that's boldness. I don't enjoy this. The natural man cringes at stuff like this. But the spirit man takes delight in what God's plan is. And so we go with what the Spirit's saying. Praise God. Praise God. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, the answer is 100% yes. I'm convinced that I will go to heaven. You say, well, how do you know? It wasn't because a person convinced me or I read it in some book or some opinion or philosophy. The Word of God told me in John 3:16, if I would believe on Jesus, I would not perish but have everlasting life. If you're in here this morning, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you're watching by live stream, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to not leave this place or from this service without receiving Him. It's a free gift. You don't have to come back to this church. You don't have to join this church. You don't have to go to any other church to receive heaven. It's a free gift, but if you want to receive Jesus, and you can say, I never have, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, you say, I want to make it official. Again, if you say, well, I believe in Jesus, that's not enough. The devil believes in Jesus. Well, I've gone to church. I've been a good person. That's not how it works. Romans 10:9 says you must believe and receive it by the confession of your mouth and the belief in your heart. If you've never received Jesus and you'd like to, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you lift your hand high in the air if you've never received Him? Anybody want to receive Him this morning before we close the service? That's never done it before. Father, as I look around the room, I don't see a hand. But if by chance there's someone in this service or watching online that's not made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray they would not pass from this life till they've accepted Jesus. And all that is just a simple prayer crying out to Him. It sounds like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean that, He'll do it. He'll save you. Heaven will be yours. And then let me know. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. Come up and talk to me. I want to get you started on what God has for you next. But let's just praise Him and thank Him for today. We're learning. We glorify you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In a second, the ushers are going to come forward here in a second and hand out the elements. But this is time for communion. And I just want to tell everybody, you know, even the kids, you know, that are new. And this is not a time of talking. This is not a time of, you know, fellowship or goofing around. This is a time of reverence and worship and honor for Him. And taking communion is remembering what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And so at this time, we're going to put on a song. I just encourage you to worship God. Brothers, you can come forward and serve the people. And then we'll take up communion together once everybody is served. Hallelujah. Just worship Him and thank Him for His mercy. Thank you, Jim. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. Magnify your holy name. Honor and praise. praise your holy name. Glorify your name. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. First Corinthians 11 and verse 23, Paul said this, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's break the bread and go ahead and eat it. Father, we thank you for what the bread represents, the body of Jesus that was broken for us. Jesus, you went through such hell. Your body endured such pain and torment for us. And we thank you so much that through your stripes, we are the healed of the Lord. We praise you and glorify you. Thank him for that body. Thank him for that sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 25 says, "After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Let's go ahead and drink. Father, we thank you for what the juice represents, which is the blood of Jesus that was shed for the forgiveness and the remission of our sins. That blood was precious, without blemish, without spot. Without the blood, we would never be purified. We would never be made whole. We would never be able to overcome. We thank you for the blood. Let's just all thank him for that blood that was shed. That blood was unlike any other blood. It was God's blood flowing that day. We thank you so much. Jesus, thank you. We owe you our lives. We owe you our gratitude. We owe you our service. We want you to know that we're thankful. We want you to know that we know what you went through, that it wasn't a small price to pay, and we're thankful. We love you this morning. We glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave, don't forget, no Wednesday service this week. We do have fellowship over there. We'll see you all next Sunday. You're dismissed. Love and appreciate you.